Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Monica Siefker, your host for the program, so very happy and blessed to be here with you today. Thanks so much for joining me. Well, if you're listening to me on Friday, March 17th, it's the day when we pretty much all consider ourselves Irish. It's St. Patrick's Day, the feast of the Apostle to the Irish. In many ways, Patrick was a lot like the great St. Paul. He had a zeal for God which consumed him, and he wanted to bring the truth of the gospel to others out of pure love for their souls. Patrick was born in Britain around 415 AD, but when he was about 16 years old, he was kidnapped by some Irish raiders who took him back to Ireland and made him a slave. He did eventually escape, but then felt called to go back to the Emerald Isle after being ordained a priest in order to bring Christianity to that country, which was steeped in spiritual darkness and paganism. Now, for most of us, we likely wouldn't be too eager to return to a people that had done us great harm. In fact, we'd probably be very angry and resentful toward them, wanting to steer clear of them for the rest of our lives. But Patrick's attitude was very different. He truly fulfilled Christ's command to love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. For the love of God, Patrick genuinely loved the people who had enslaved him. He wanted them to hear the gospel, and he wanted to be the one to bring it to them in spite of the many dangers that he would face. Patrick's heart was filled with great mercy for the Irish because he realized that it's a much greater sadness and danger to be spiritually enslaved rather than physically captive. So he was willing to face the possibility of martyrdom, even on a daily basis, if he could help bring souls to the freedom found in Christ Jesus. God's love so filled Patrick's heart that he felt compelled to make heroic efforts to lead the Irish away from the worship of their false gods and turn them instead to the one true God of life and light. St. Patrick has much to teach us about our own little missionary efforts and how important it is to love the people and the culture we are trying to evangelize, no matter how bad or far from God they may be. We have to remember, as Patrick did, that to be taken a prisoner by one's own passions or to any number of false idols is the most tragic thing that can befall a soul. Patrick's zealous and courageous missionary efforts to a people who sat in great darkness give us an outstanding example of how we, in our own post-Christian world, should have an intense love for the salvation of souls, not hiding ourselves behind locked doors in fear or in disgust, but proclaiming with great joy and conviction the gospel of life and love to the culture. Because, after all, that gospel is the only thing that will save us and set us free. Let's pray together St. Patrick's Lorica as a reminder of God's power and the spiritual protection that envelops us during any spiritual battles or missionary efforts that we face. I arise today through a mighty strength, the invocation of the Trinity, through belief in the threeness, through confession of the oneness of the Creator of creation. I arise today through the strength of Christ's birth with his baptism, through the strength of his crucifixion with his burial, through the strength of his resurrection with his ascension, through the strength of his descent for the judgment of doom. I arise today through the strength of the love of the cherubim, in obedience of angels, in the service of archangels, in the hope of the resurrection to meet with reward, in the prayers of patriarchs, in prediction of prophets, in preaching of apostles, in faith of confessors, in innocence of holy virgins, in deeds of righteous men. I arise today through the strength of heaven, light of sun, radiance of moon, splendor of fire, speed of light, lightning, swiftness of wind, depth of sea, stability of earth, firmness of rock. I arise today through God's strength to pilot me, God's might to uphold me, God's wisdom to guide me, God's eye to look before me, God's ear to hear me, God's word to speak to me, God's hand to guard me, God's way to lie before me, God's shield to protect me, God's host to save me from the snares of devils, from temptations of vices, from everyone who shall wish me ill afar and anear, alone and in a multitude. I summon today all these powers between me and those evils, against every cruel, merciless power that may oppose my body and soul, against incantations of false prophets, against black laws of pagandom, against false laws of heretics, against craft of idolatry, against spells of women and smiths and wizards, against every knowledge that corrupts man's body and soul. Christ, to shield me today against poison, against burning, against drowning, against wounds, so that there may come to me abundance of reward. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down, Christ when I arise, Christ in the heart of every man who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me, Christ in the eye of everyone that sees me, Christ in every ear that hears me. I arise today through a mighty strength, the invocation of the Trinity, through belief in the threeness, through confession of the oneness of the Creator of creation. Amen. And let's go now to this week's In the News. Abortions in Indiana have dropped significantly, nearly 50%, in the first few months following the passage of a near-total abortion ban by the legislature, even though the law has been blocked and the procedure remains legal while the court decides its fate. According to the Indiana Capital Chronicle, records from the Indiana Department of Health show that in the first 3 months after the Dobbs decision, an average of 1,048 abortions were performed in Indiana each month. But that figure dropped sharply between October 2022 and January 2023, when abortions averaged just 552 per month in the state, a number well below monthly averages for previous years. Abortion providers are blaming staff shortages and confusion over the legality of abortion here in Indiana for the dramatic drop. And in what some pro-lifers are calling a bigger-than-Dobbs moment, a hearing for a lawsuit that accuses the FDA of going beyond its regulatory authority in approving the abortion pill back in 2000 was heard this past Wednesday in a federal district court in Texas. Several medical associations, including the American Association of Pro-Life Obstetricians and Gynecologists and the Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine, as well as four doctors, have brought the lawsuit. Represented by the Alliance Defending Freedom, the medical professionals point to evidence that the FDA ignored safety problems and failed to properly study the risks of taking mifepristone. Pro-life advocates are hoping that U.S. Judge Matthew Kaczmarek of the Northern District of Texas will agree that mifepristone was improperly approved by the FDA and order the drug to be pulled from the entire U.S. market. It's likely, though, that even if Kaczmarek decides in the plaintiff's favor, he will keep the ruling limited to Texas or within his own jurisdiction. Judge Kaczmarek, who was appointed by President Donald Trump, has said that he himself and the court have received numerous threats, including death threats, in response to this case. Since the overturning of Roe v. Wade, abortion supporters have been pushing abortion drugs more heavily, with some groups even illegally sending the deadly drugs to women in pro-life states. After hearing arguments for the case this past Wednesday, Judge Kaczmarek promised he would issue a ruling as soon as possible. And the Beehive State joins a growing list of those where unborn babies are legally protected. This past Wednesday, Utah Governor Spencer Cox signed the state's pro-life bill into law after the legislature passed it by an overwhelming majority earlier this month. The statute prohibits abortion facilities from operating in Utah starting in 2024 and prohibits state authorities from granting licenses to abortion centers after May 2nd. Those abortions permitted under strict exceptions must be performed in hospitals. Utah currently has four abortion facilities, three of which are Planned Parenthoods. Finally, 20 unborn children lost their lives to the violence of abortion this past Thursday at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. Close to two-thirds of the women came from Kentucky, where abortion continues to be illegal. This week marks the first in several several where abortions were not performed twice in a week. Lots of help is needed to cover the Bloomington Planned Parenthood in prayer over the next week during this 40 Days for Life campaign. You can go to 40daysforlife.com/Bloomington to see what hours need filled and sign up to come and pray there at 421 South College Avenue. Your prayers and sacrifices are greatly appreciated. And that's your weekly In the News. Well, one of the most famous legends from the life of St. Patrick was that Patrick drove snakes out of the entire country of Ireland after praying on top of a mountain during the 40 days of Lent. Now, experts generally agree that at no time has there ever been any suggestion of snakes being in Ireland, so there was nothing for Patrick to banish. More than likely, however, the snakes in that story were meant to symbolize the expulsion of paganism from the country. Specifically, the Druids there, who were magicians or soothsayers in the ancient Celtic religion, were believed to have practiced a thriving cult of serpent worship on the island, and Patrick's evangelization efforts and prayers, by the grace of God, drove that out. Well, right now in our own country, we are seeing Satanism grow bolder and becoming more prevalent and acceptable as it never has before. The rise in satanic vandalism, especially against Catholic churches, is increasing. Divination is quite popular, as are after-school Satan clubs for children. There have been pushes to erect satanic displays right alongside nativity scenes at courthouses throughout the country during the Christmas season. And the largest satanic gathering in history will take place at the end of April in Boston, Massachusetts, featuring, among other things, special workshops for so-called reproductive rights. Just last month, it was announced by the Satanic Temple that they were going to do more than just promote the violent killing of the unborn. They were going to be opening up a facility in the state of New Mexico to provide what they said was free religious abortion ritual care. The center is named the Samuel Alito's Mom's Satanic Abortion Clinic to mock Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito, who authored the majority opinion that overturned Roe v. Wade. Malcolm Jari, a co-founder of the Satanic Temple, put out a statement that read, "In 1950, Samuel Alito's mother did not have options, and look what happened. Prior to 1973, doctors who performed abortions could lose their licenses and go to jail. The clinic's name serves to remind people just how important it is to have the right to control one's body and the potential ramifications of losing that right." So think about what they are really saying here. It's simply a death wish to Justice Samuel Alito. They wish that Justice Alito's mother would have killed her son in utero. By the way, Justice Alito's mother, Rose, was a Catholic Italian-American who passed away in 2013 at the age of 98. A massive Christian burial was celebrated at Our Lady of Sorrows Church in New Jersey for this beautiful soul. The name alone of this latest abortion facility is truly demonic and reminds me of the passage in John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 44. "You belong to your father, the devil, and you willingly carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth." So the Satanic Temple has formed a new medical services arm that they have called TST Health, and it will offer telehealth screenings and appointments and provide abortion pills to patients via a pharmacy. The services will be free of charge as part of what they call their abortion ritual, though patients will have to pay for the actual abortion pill itself from a pharmacy. Their New Mexico facility will be operated by licensed medical staff, and its so-called services will be available to any state resident who is at least 17 years old and who is up to 11 weeks pregnant. Anyone in Mexico seeking to perform the Satanic Temple's abortion ritual will be able to receive free online medical services, their press release stated. Satanic Temple leaders say they hope to eventually expand their new abortion practice to states that ban abortions. And as we are all well aware of here in Indiana, The Satanic Temple has also filed lawsuits in several states, including our own, challenging such states' protections for unborn babies on so-called religious grounds. TST claims that abortion restrictions and bans violate their teaching that one's body is inviolable, subject to one's own will alone, thus making their abortion ritual unable to be performed in states that outlaw abortion. By the way, the Satanic Temple claims to have around 700,000 members internationally, and it is a recognized religion by the IRS. So we've got our work cut out for us living in this type of dark and satanic culture. And again, it's good to recall the devilry and wickedness that St. Patrick too faced in his own work and efforts. He loved those souls who were so steeped in darkness, and he desired, as God does, not the death of the sinner, but that he be converted and live. This holy season of Lent is a good time for us to offer up extra sacrifices and prayers, especially fasting and Eucharistic adoration, to make reparation for this very dark evil that is going on, and to obtain graces for the conversion of sinners. I can tell you that the spiritual battle has certainly intensified there at 4217. South College Avenue. Sorrowfully, ever since the last week of January, they have been killing unborn children there 2 days a week now, during most weeks, and at record numbers. Fortunately, there is some good news amidst this sorrow. Abortions are still illegal in Kentucky, and so some women are coming to Indiana to take the lives of their unborn children. Also, the Planned Parenthood in Indianapolis on Georgetown Road, the largest abortion center in the state, has for some unexplained reason quit doing abortions there. They are now referring to the women to Bloomington and to Lafayette. So we're getting this influx of women coming from Kentucky and central and north central Indiana now. But again, that's because we've got a few abortion facilities no longer doing abortion. And that's good news because that means there's a fair amount of unborn lives being saved. But it definitely makes it harder for us here in Bloomington trying to get full coverage on abortion days, which are now Thursdays and Fridays. So I want to encourage you to drop by the Bloomington Planned Parenthood on a Thursday or Friday to pray and to make the necessary public reparation for the increased bloodshed that is going on right now in our community, because it's truly a demonic sacrifice that is going on. Satan grows bolder, and the Catholic Church and her members are charged with courageously standing firm against him and all the evil spirits that are prowling around seeking the ruin of souls. Also, I want to just spur you on in being very generous with participating in this current 40-day Days for Life campaign. There are always so many open hours that need to be covered, and your prayers and sacrifices in this campaign really do make a huge difference. And I don't know if you heard about this, but 40 Days for Life is demanding that a congressional investigation be made into Planned Parenthood and other abortion providers for allegedly profiteering from the sale of abortion pills. Sean Carney, who is the co-founder and CEO of 40 Days for Life, sent a letter to the chairman and ranking member of the House Committee on Oversight and Accountability on the first day of this Lenten campaign, Ash Wednesday, February 22nd, requesting that the committee open an investigation into whether abortion providers are profiting from selling the dangerous RU486 pills. Presently, pharmaceutical-induced abortions account for more than half of all abortions in America, Sean wrote. The public deserves to know if companies like Planned Parenthood are profiting from this dangerous drug. Sean's letter goes on to state that close to 45% of Planned Parenthood's revenue comes from taxpayers' pockets, totaling over $500 million annually. So, he argues, the American people deserve to have accountability for that money. In addition to profits, the American people deserve answers into whether pharmacies, who are now permitted to sell abortion pills, are lawfully selling these drugs and how they ensure compliance with the various state and federal regulations, Sean writes. Specifically, if they are selling to minors, selling to third parties for delivery, selling in states without abortion, or selling across borders, for instance, from Illinois, where abortion is legal, into Alabama, where where abortion is illegal. Sean ends the letter by stating, 40 Days for Life is confident Planned Parenthood is not simply conceding such a significant source of their income to retail pharmacies. Therefore, we ask that the Oversight Committee investigate if and how Planned Parenthood is profiting from the distribution of RU486 by CVS and Walgreens. So, 40 Days for Life, taking it to Planned Parenthood, not only with their prayer and fasting campaigns, but with some much-needed action, encouraging government leaders to investigate the abortion giant. Now, just as Sean mentioned in his letter to the House Committee on Oversight and Accountability, chemical abortions have surpassed surgical abortions here in the U.S. as the method of choice for ending the lives of unborn children. The pills are often touted by the abortion industry as being safe, easy, private, and more natural, like going through a miscarriage, they will tell women. But the truth is, not only is the preborn child killed in the process, though a few do end up surviving the chemical concoction, but it can also be dangerous for the child's mother herself. In fact, research shows that the abortion pill is 4 times more dangerous than first trimester surgical abortion. In a 2015 study entitled Incidence of Emergency Room Department Visits and Complications After Abortion, researchers found that the complication rate for women who took the abortion pill was 5.2%, compared to 1.3% for women who had undergone a first trimester surgical abortion. And when looking specifically at abortions that caused major complications, researchers discovered that more severe complications occurred for women who took the pill rather than going the surgical route. Major complications include things like hemorrhaging, incomplete abortion, and infection, which can cause death. And then there's a study published in 2021 that was sponsored by an abortion organization that revealed that 6% of the over 1,100 women in the study who had taken the abortion pill ended up visiting an emergency room or an urgent care center for complications. 5 of those women required blood transfusions. And one final study I'll bring up is the 2021 analysis performed by the Charlotte Lozier Institute, revealing that the rate of abortion-related emergency room visits following the use of the abortion pill increased by an astounding 507% between 2002 and 2015. The study examined data from women residing in 17 states providing Medicaid funding for abortion. The women were over 13 years of age at the time of their abortions and visited the emergency room within 30 days. This same study also found that women who took the abortion pill had a 22% greater risk of an emergency room visit for any reason, as well as a 53% increased risk of an emergency room visit for an abortion-related reason. Women who took the abortion pill and then had a second abortion, chemical or surgical, within the next year were twice as likely to require treatment in an emergency room. We've heard recently from the abortion industry insisting that the abortion pill is just as safe as Tylenol and that it's no big deal for women when they take it. But that's quite far from the actual truth. You can even read endless stories online of women who say that going through a chemical abortion was the worst thing that they had ever been through in their lives. Well, in addition to 40 Days for Life's request to the government to see if abortion businesses are profiting off the abortion pill, 4 national medical associations and 4 doctors filed a lawsuit late last year against the Food and Drug Administration, claiming that the federal agency illegally approved the abortion pill in 2000, putting the well-being of women and girls at risk. This case was just heard by a federal district court judge this past week. Dr. Christina Francis, who is president of the American Association of Pro-Life Obstetricians and Gynecologists, says that she and her colleagues have witnessed firsthand the harm being done to women and girls by the abortion pill. In an interview with Newsmax, Dr. Francis said, "I have seen women and girls come in through our emergency rooms with severe complications from these drugs, complications that should be being addressed by the FDA, complications like heavy bleeding and hemorrhage, and the need for emergency surgery, the need for admission to the hospital for blood transfusions and infections. And even one of our members took care of a woman who likely will not be able to have children in the future because of major complications that required 2 major surgeries to correct these complications due to these chemical abortion drugs." She went on to state that with the FDA's initial approval of the abortion pill in 2000, They did do some testing on adults, but they did not test in the pediatric population. And yet, ever since its approval, it has been allowed to be used in the pediatric population. And this is a population of girls who would be very susceptible to manipulation of hormones, which is exactly what the first drug, mifepristone, does. It binds to receptors on cells and blocks the action of progesterone, which is a key hormone not only in normal development for girls, but also a key hormone in early pregnancy, which is how it works to end the life of preborn children, Dr. Francis said. The plaintiffs in the lawsuit believe the abortion pill should be taken off the marketplace, or at the very least, they believe the FDA should restore and strengthen the previous safeguards that were in place before President Biden came into office and worked to make the abortion pill much more easily attainable. A ruling on this case is expected soon. Yes, indeed, so much to pray and fast for in these challenging times. Thanks be to God for the example of saints like Patrick, who show us what it means to be a follower of Christ in a culture that is steeped in paganism and dark practices. May we be given the courage, zeal, and joy we need to become saints for the glory of God and the salvation of souls. Well, I want to end today's program on a positive and joyful note. Recently, Pope Francis approved a miracle to advance the cause of canonization of an Italian nun and founder of the Congregation of the Daughters of Santa Maria di Lucca, Venerable Servant of God, Elisabetta Martinez. The miracle involved the healing of an unborn baby girl in Rimini, Italy. The story goes that in an ultrasound imagery of this special baby back in 2017, it was revealed that the little one was suffering from several severe life-limiting and potentially life-ending conditions. These conditions included thrombosis, complete calcific occlusion of the left fetal umbilical artery, extensive placental infarction, which is obstruction of the blood supply, and severe intrauterine fetal growth retardation associated with brain-sparing condition. A friend of the family informed the Daughters of Santa Maria di Lucca, and the various congregations began praying novenas for a miraculous healing through the intercession of their foundress, Mother Elisabetta Martinez. In January 2018, new ultrasound imagery shocked doctors by revealing regular quantities of amniotic fluid and regular fetal flowmetry, both major improvements to the baby's condition. Yet the baby girl was still found to be suffering from thrombosis of an umbilical artery and fetal growth retardation. But on March 19, 2018, the Feast of St. Joseph, the baby girl was born completely healthy, a true miracle. A February 23rd decree by Pope Francis authorized the advancement of Mother Martinez's canonization cause based on the baby girl's miraculous healing. The Vatican's Dicastery for the Causes of Saints will now advance Mother Martinez to the status of blessed, which is one step away from being declared a saint in the Catholic Church. We've seen numerous times in recent years of how it has been through the miraculous healing of unborn babies that have paved the way for the beatification or canonization of various saints, including Pope St. Paul VI and St. Cardinal John Henry Newman. In the case of Paul VI, the author of Humanae Vitae, miracles involving unborn children were attributed to both his beatification and his canonization. I said it before and I'll say it again. Heaven is certainly trying to tell us something. Let's continue to keep fighting the good fight in this culture of death and impurity, keeping our eyes on Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Thanks so much for joining me. Until next time, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with a desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.